science or STEM has been different than the beginning. And thank you. Before we begin, I would like to thank Campbell's and Edwards, who has had the pleasure of service as recording secretary, and Dorothy Williams, who is chair of the staff and committee today. Now, I'm going to thank you again. We are going to begin with House Bill 285, and we're going to work on this for later on. We will begin the moment ready for action. We have heard this bill in previous meetings and given testimony. Then we will move on to confirmation hearings for Kevin Gray and Angus Lamb. Melanie Stoss is going to help us to the planning board. And then finally, we will finish up with an introductory hearing on HB 382 by the U.S. Senator. Do you have any questions before we begin? Seeing none. Representative Marquez, if you need any staff to come to the front. Mr. Feynman, are you on the line?
Yes, I am here.
Wonderful. as you'd like. I will turn to the committee to see if there are any questions for you today. I'm seeing that I will ask for Mr. Brandon Clark, if you could please go up by the regard. Are you continuing service on the board or is this a new appointment?
I am services, how does the trust fit into all this? If you have a view on that.
Thank you.
Mr. Feynman, thank you. I'm seeing no more questions for you this afternoon. We thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Next, we have Ms. Agnes Moran. Ms. Moran, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. If you could please put yourself on the record and introduce yourself and explain why you are qualified and interested in serving on the board.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Agnes Moran. I would like to thank you for the opportunity to speak today for the consideration of your application to serve on the Los Angeles Council of Sports. I thought I was in touch with you about the Los Angeles Council of Sports Association and the subject of the first degree in the United States Military University. As I said, I've been always working primarily on the affirmative of military parliament systems, connecting the commercial and university community networking, and the overall development of private grant thinking foundations. I've been on the board of Swiss Bank since 2003, where I chaired the Audit Committee and the Retirement Plan Committee. When I took the last 1999 directly family, my husband was retired. My daughter is a sophomore at Ohio University, and my son recently graduated from the University of Portland, and at the same time, the Trooper Academy was retired. I've been working with health beneficiaries in a volunteer position with the top 15 years. My volunteer role has represented areas of service in chronic illnesses and substance use disorders. I started my volunteer with these families in the community mail program. I support and serve the market by showing up to mentor beneficiaries and individuals. On the board, I've been on the Family and Family Living Center, the United States Water Service and Homeless Services, and was part of that board until 2021. In January of 2017, I took on the executive director role at Liberty State Homes, a regional community college. Such as a non-profit organization dedicated to providing essential support to victims and victims of domestic violence and sexual assault in their families. When I took over my team and come to our best class, I took on local bases and the community of funders, the downside of other crimes and sexual assault, so I would like to give the list of 10 on the right. The community at work, thank you for your information. For my tenure working with organizations, my second statewide individual and challenge organizations, for grant space approval, and the gathering of living offerings in the community of Houston. Most importantly, the community of Houston was celebrated the opening of our new shelter on October 21. Thank you for that commitment to work in the mental health system and your guidance in the last year of both starting to guide my career. I'd like to work with the most suffering plus beneficiaries. That their efforts have been situated financially, service dependencies, and adoption plans for all homelessness, and the residents of the mental health and truly elderly. Getting staff positions and eligible accounts are critical. The benefit of the program on appointments is established with strong connections to the mission of the organization. I have been working to provide just beneficiaries in their varying capacities for over 10 years. I think just the API speaks all of us from my current experience working with beneficiaries in the health community, as well as working relatively in the Center for Early Working Solutions and Board of Trustees. As a chaplain and advocate for all areas of the state, I work to extend the rights of trust by establishing collaborative relationships with the people in the community and working directly with trust beneficiaries. The board sets a program that will meet the lessons and experience of those people during the work. Thank you guys for your insights on your application, and I hope you have a great day.
Thank you, Ms. Moran. Do we have any questions from committee members? We're not seeing any at this time. I will ask the same question I asked a moment ago of our first appointee. Is this your first appointment to the board, Ms. Moran, or are you continuing service?
It will be an initial appointment.
Initial appointment. Thank you. Now I see a question from Rick.
Thanks, Ms. Moran. We were hiring questions, and maybe it'll just try to make them shorter. What do you think across role in terms of supporting the municipality for each crisis intervention services? And what needs and opportunities do you see if the legislature potentially passes crisis intervention bill, largely recommended on health and social services, and that expansion of the services brings the need for more facilities than would be for that? Thank you.
Thank you. Through the chair, this is a new appointment to the agenda. I'm familiar with the work you've been doing on the new schools. As I just said, I'm very
additional questions, Ms. Moran. Thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thank you.
Okay, at this time, I would now like to open public testimony for appointees to the Dewalt Trust Board. Public testimony will be limited to 2 minutes for each individual. If there is not a room to provide public testimony, on the public testimony board, and when you are ready, you can put yourself on the record and provide your testimony.
My name is Bernice Dunn-Palladin. I'm a journalist and I work with the State House of Central Salt, and I come to speak in support of Agnes Moran, who I had the honor of working with since she came on as the Voices Executive Director, as she spoke about. And just through her amazing abilities, I looked at an issue like volunteer, I did not know that, but it makes sense as to how she's able to balance those two things with such a strong vegetarian and those pieces that come into the business side, and also just tremendous compassion when it comes to serving those that the Dewalt Trust is set up to serve. I believe that she would bring just that knowledge that she has over the years, working with somebody she talked about the overnight sleep bus center, being one of the people who really worked to make that happen. It's just the person who is, and I feel sitting on the Dewalt Trust Board, we would have a strong person who's able to really represent those that are being served by the trust in each decision. So I greatly support her coming on to the board of the Dewalt Trust. Thank you, Ms. Denver.
I do not see anyone online to provide testimony. Okay, so at this time I will close public testimony. So Ms. Moran and Mr. Freeman are final nominees. We are going to forward your names for information in joint session. Just as a reminder, we may answer from a lack of second and committee member to vote for or against individual during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation. Do you have any objections?
Seeing none, Coach Zalkowski, if you could please. Council of the Judiciary is there any other qualifications for the governor's appointees? As shown below, can I provide about the names be forwarded to a joint session for consideration? Agnes Moran, Alaska Health Trust Authority, and Kevin Kramer, Alaska Health Trust Authority.
Thank you, Coach Zalkowski. And now we will move to our final order of business. Today, I'm going to have an introductory first round hospital meeting with our representative there. And the following individuals available for questions: Director Lauren Benheimer for the National Insurance, thank you for being here today. Laura Keller from the American Diabetes Association, who will also be providing a vetted testimony. In addition to this letter, we also have the following three vetted testimony: Brandon Bloomsbury, CEO of the Branch Director of the Great League of Business Trusting, Justin Bloomsbury, sorry. In the interest of time, I would ask members to hold any questions and delete them in their presentation. Representative Snyder, if you could begin by putting yourself on record and beginning your introduction with them.
Yes, thank you, Chair Zalkowski. My name is Representative Snyder. I represent District 27 in East Anchorage, and I am very pleased to be before the committee today, resulting on HB 382. Really, this bill is about two things. One, the importance of prevention with respect to both positive health outcomes and with respect to reducing health care costs. But it's also about health care access. So these are the two issues that we aim to address with HB 382. And specifically with this bill, we are talking about the high cost of insulin prices. Insulin prices are astronomically high if anyone is here and realizes insulin, but that we are to understand. The bottle of insulin back in 1996 had a list price of $21. Today, that same bottle of insulin has a list price of over $300. That is four times higher than the rate of inflation looking back to 1996, people with diabetes are struggling as far as the choice between insulin based on its high cost, to choose between insulin or rent or healthy food to maintain other aspects of their health. Apparently, 50,000 people in Alaska have been diagnosed with diabetes. There are an additional 15,000 in Alaska who have diabetes that do not even know it. I mean, every year, an estimated 5,000 people in Alaska are newly diagnosed with diabetes. And then on top of that, about 34% of Alaska's adult population, roughly 182,000 people, have pre-diabetes. The blood glucose levels are higher than normal, but not yet high enough to be diagnosed with diabetes. So clearly at risk and maybe future users of insulin. So what this legislation specifically does, it caps insulin once per day at $100 a month, again, to address those two issues of prevention and healthcare access and affordability. This is not, Alaska is not the first place that we are seeing legislation make this move forward and ultimately pass. It passed in 16 states, with several more states pending. Additionally, in Minnesota, two health insurers right there in Utah have decided to cap insulin costs at $25 a month for their patients. And Blue Cross Blue Shield and Consumer Group may cap for their patients on insulin. Medicare Part D plans have also recently agreed to cap insulin at $35 per month starting in 2021. And anyone following the trends at the national level would know that a bill has passed the House of Representatives capping at $35, which is even more stringent than what we are proposing here today. So, in terms of cost for premiums, that's one of the first critiques that you will hear or concerns that you will hear when you talk about capping insulin. When you look at 2017, the one study that found the cost per hour benefit would be approximately 70 to 95 cents per member per year. And of course, these estimates vary depending on a couple of different studies that they've conducted or different situations or different states. The highest value that we have seen estimated for a cost increase is $3 per year per insured individual. For some specifics, the state of Washington is looking to cap its insulin copays at $100 a month, similar to what we're proposing in this bill. They did that in 2021. 15 health insurers then reported an average proposed rate decrease. A decrease rate of 1.79% for 2021 individual health insurance market. You may have heard also Kentucky introduced an insulin cap copay. The fiscal note for that legislation indicated that premium increases would be negligible, and this is actually the $3 per year increase that I referenced just a moment ago that is in Kentucky. And finally, for another example in California, a single piece of legislation would only increase premiums by a fraction of a percent for enrollees with private insurance. And this does not take into account the savings that are seen both by the individuals who are utilizing insulin, as well as the savings that we can see in healthcare costs. And I'd say the supporting documents that are provided for this bill, you will see the reductions in hospitalizations, the reductions in the length of hospital stay, the reduction in severity of disease and adverse health impacts when insulin is utilized regularly and utilized at the appropriate doses or amounts. And those two things are adversely impacted when cost is a factor for individuals. They will start rationing the insulin and using it when not consistent with prescribed practices. And at this point, I will pause here and if you just a little bit of the chair, I will turn to my staff to walk us through this section.
Thank you, Commissioner Kowski, for working. My name is Chancellor Kimber, staff representative of the center. Section 1 of the bond and formula language AAS 2142-390, Section A, coverage for people with diabetes to ensure coverage for all other kinds of medicines are still subject to standard policy provisions. Section 2, that's D. So AAS 2142-390, it states any private health insurance provider operating in Alaska to have some kind of individual and limited dollars into a place
Managing Director of Advocacy for the American Diabetes Association and Purpose and Advocacy in Alaska. Thank you, Representative Snyder, bill sponsor and committee. Thank you for hearing this bill today. One of the things I wanted to point out was that a nonpartisan analysis of the COVID cap legislation in California found that premiums would be raised less than 1%, as you heard Representative Snyder say. Projecting a 10% reduction in emergency room visits and hospitalization costs if this were to be implemented. The Washington State bill that she mentioned was originally passed at a higher amount at the $100 copay, and this session they recently passed it at a $35 copay to align with the national Medicaid copay cap that's been passed because it in fact did lower premiums and there was a need. So one of the reasons why insulin is different than other medications is that there is not a generic or biosimilar on the market currently that people with other services. So that's putting more costs into the system. Again, I want to thank you for your time today, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thanks, Adam. I have this information that you brought in, but I'm curious in quantifying the number of people who have had to seek more expensive care because unaffordable coverage seems to be the price gouging reverent that places. And you are also paying more, I just like to understand how expensive that is in some places.
That's a great question. Let me see if I can provide that information to you, and I'll get that to Representative Center.
That's our response. Thank you, and thanks so much for your testimony. Ms. Potter, I'm certainly, this is always really important care for people who are insulin-dependent. But I'm wondering if you can describe for folks who might be listening, what are some of the complications of not managing your insulin-dependent diabetes? What are some of the complications that send people into emergency departments?
Absolutely. So for someone like myself who has type 1 diabetes, my body doesn't make insulin. I don't have another option. I can't take a pill. I can't do anything else. I take insulin to live. So those of us that have type 1 diabetes, we need to take insulin via either an insulin pen, a syringe, an insulin pump. There is inhaled insulin. That is another option. But we need to take insulin. That is our option. And the reason why you take insulin is insulin is like the key that opens your cell, the doors of your cell, to get food in. So if you don't have enough insulin, your blood sugar goes up. And when your blood sugar goes up, because your body can't process, it doesn't have that insulin key to get that energy into your cells, it creates, think of it a little bit as sort of like a sludge in your blood. Your body can't process it. And I understand this is a very simplistic way to describe it, but I hope this will make sense. And that clogs your blood vessels. That leads to things like retinopathy. So eye disease, people can lose their sight. Neuropathies, people lose feeling in their fingers, their feet. It leads to amputations. It can lead to kidney disease, dialysis. Diabetes is the biggest indicator of complications for people who end up with kidney disease and dialysis. And so those are some of the main things. Also, if your blood glucose is unregulated, believe it or not, you can also have complications through dental work as well as heart disease. So having healthy blood sugars and the ability to manage your blood sugar appropriately by having access to insulin gives up multiple complications that are costly and can lead to very expensive things if not tested.
Thank you for describing that.
I have another question associated with the problem here is monopolies that control the production of insulin. And I'm curious, have other states explored other ways of producing insulin and making it available at a lot closer to the cost of production?
That's a great question. So the first state to really look at that issue was California. A couple of years ago, California did pass
about how we know that state Alaska is looking at joining us to merge a good portion of the producers to provide us with lower cost to consumers. And I also have another question for Mr. Keller. And it is included in our reforms proposal to this bill. Are you familiar with attorneys general in other states pursuing some more criminal remedies against the pharma companies that are price caps with consumers? I do see in Alaska statutes we have pretty strong statutes regarding monopolies and restrictions and trade in the mail that seems to be done by these drug companies. We've committed a violation of Alaska statutes 45-55-78, which carries the civil criminal penalties of fines for $1 million class C felonies and holding up over 27 to pursue those who are believe these properties are price scalping people to be present.
You know, that's a great question. I'm not familiar with any states that have been in the West Coast to the Midwest. I will have to do some research, but again, I'm not familiar with any attorney generals who have started down that process at this time.
Okay. If you learn any of that, you should learn about those models because it seems to make us another way of holding these old methods accountable. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Keller, for your testimony today. Next, we will hear from Mr. Brandon Boosley. That's the answer to the question this morning you're asking. Number one. Great. If you could begin by introducing yourself and your affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you for having me to talk today. My name is Brandon Boosley.
Dr. Risley. In addition to the bill, are there further measures that you think we should consider looking at the plastic and so on?
$75 per vial, in context, if you were to adjust that $20 per vial in 1996,
for inclusion. That's about the cost of a bottle to get if you want to get a bottle of the dollars for a bottle of 1996, for example, which would then for folks a typical number of royalties would help would be two. It can only actually, of course, if you put that on a $150 copay cap per month. Just for context.
Yes, it's an annual cost at $30 for a copay cap for per insulin prescription per month. So when I use one vial of insulin of, let's say, a fast-acting that you might use in your insulin pump, or you use three of those vials in a month, it would be $30 for that prescription per month.
I'm worried about what better testimony earlier. Questions before you can come with testimony. All right. So that we will now open testimony on Hospital 382. The testimony will be limited to 2 minutes per testifier. Is there anyone in the room who wishes to testify? All right. Seeing none, we will turn to folks online. I see Jessica Downs. Are you online? Thank you so much. And is anyone else online wishing to testify? Seeing anyone no one else who would like to testify, I will now close public testimony. The amendment deadline for House Bill 382 will be on Monday, April 26th at 5 p.m. The amendment must be drafted by legislative rule in order to be accepted. The next meeting of the House Health and Social Services Committee will be on Tuesday, April 26th at 3 p.m. at Davis Room 6. We currently have House Bill 382 scheduled for a second hearing, as well as an introductory hearing on Senate Bill 132 by Senator Holland. The time is 4 to 7 p.m. Mr. Senator, House Health and Social Services Committee has been adjourned.